I was asking the Holy Spirit how to teach, because prophecy is vast. And then I, with the Holy Spirit, came upon the decision that let's divide this into characteristics of a prophecy, or what is called a prophecy. Many things in the Bible cannot be explained in one definition, because there are many characteristics and aspects of it. So I told you about the 10 characteristics or aspects of the gift of prophecy. So prophecy is not prediction, just prediction, predicting the future. That is not the definition of prophecy. Prophecy means a lot in the Bible. And I told you last time why Apostle Paul says that desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And when we see the book of Acts, when we see Joel, we already covered those things. We see that the Lord will pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And what will happen first? The sons and daughters may prophesy. The maidservants, men servants may prophesy. And we looked at that aspect of the prophecy is receiving the burden from the heart of the Lord. Prophecy is the first definition we saw about prophecy is receiving the burden. The prophecy is a burden of God that is translated as a burden of intercession planted in the heart of man. So prophecy does not emerge through words. Okay, I prophesy. It emerges from the heart of God. That is the origination point of prophecy. Do we understand that? From the heart of God, translated to the man's heart, not as a prophecy, but as a prayer burden, intercession. And then we pray, and then it is translated to prophecy. I showed you the operation of a prophecy from the first characteristic of a prophecy. All right, we will go ahead tonight. And before I go ahead, let me just quickly go take you through all the aspects of the prophecy, and then we will go to the fourth characteristic of the prophecy, because the first three we have already covered. The first one, I told you that prophecy is a burden of God translated as a burden of intercession in the heart of man. That is where I explained you the operation of a prophecy. Okay, and I told you the prophetic gift does not exist without a prayer and intercession ministry in that one. The second thing I told you, that prophesying is declaring the word of the Lord, the instructions of the Lord. And then there were subcategories under it. Remember, last time I told you how dancing, music and prophecy comes together, where they dance and play the music and praise the Lord. Those are prophetic praise, prophetic worship. So prophesying is declaring the words of the Lord. Third, I told you prophesying is declaring the preordained plan of God, or what God is going to do. Yeah, prophesying, that is where we will start the third one. So we will come to that. Then fourth one is prophesying is encouraging and building up the faith of God's people in the word of God. Fifth one is God gives the gift of prophecy to supernaturally turn around the physical situations. The sixth one is prophecy of the Bible is centered around Jesus. All the Old Testament prophecies lead to the revealing of Jesus Christ. The seventh is the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, and the book of Revelation is the book of prophecy. The eighth one is the gift of prophecy can be a temporary impartation. The ninth is the gift of prophecy and the office of a prophet are two different areas of operation. And the tenth one is the gift of prophecy also exists in the demonic kingdom. All right, so let's jump back to the third characteristic of a prophecy. What is that? Prophesying is declaring the instructions of the Lord, the preordained plan of God, of what God is going to do. So let's look at that aspect of prophecy. What is that? Declaring the instructions of the Lord, or the plan, the preordained plan of God. This is what God is going to do. So I am not predicting. I am not a predictor. So if you search, go on Google, go on dictionaries, you search, what is prophecy? Oh, prophecy is a prediction. Prophecy is not a prediction. Prophecy is declaring what God has already ordained to happen. We are not predicting. Prediction is what the stock market people do. Okay, tomorrow the market will be this, the share prices will be this. They are predicting. Those are assumptions based on their study, based on their experience. That is not prophecy. We are not prophesying based on our experience. Okay, I have experience. I know this is going to happen. On the basis of my experience, I am predicting something. That is not a prophecy. Okay, prophecy is what? Declaring the preordained plan of God. If we say, I prophesy that this is going to happen, we are not predicting anything. We are saying God has ordained this to happen. Are we understanding the difference? So let's, now under this category, there are many subcategories that we have to look at. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter number 17 verse 1. Let's go there. 1 Kings chapter number 17 verse number 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Now what he is saying is a prophetic word. What he is doing is prophesying. What did he say? He said that there will be no rain nor any dew except at my word. So he is talking about what is going to happen in Israel. And as soon as he said the word, as soon as he gave the prophecy, there was no rain in Israel. There was a drought in Israel. That is a prophecy where he is declaring something. Okay, another word related to this. 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse number 41. 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse number 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. This is again a prophecy. Now he said, accept at my word. Now he is speaking the word. He said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. The rain is going to come. This is a prophetic word. He is declaring what God is going to do, what God has ordained to happen. Okay. Now, how he is not a psychic who is telling the future. How has this prophetic gift of Elijah emerged, where he is able to say things and the same things are happening? What he is saying is the things that God wants to do. He is speaking through the mouth of the prophet. That is what is happening here. What God wants to do on the face of the earth, he speaks through the mouth of the prophets, of his servants. What God wants to do on the face of the earth, he reveals to his prophets. He reveals to his servants. That is what the Bible says. So that is prophesying. You are declaring what God told you that is going to happen. Okay, now, how he is able to do that? Where did the gift originate from? How he is able to do that? Because when we read the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17, out of nowhere a new person emerges, Elijah the Tishbite, whom we never heard about. This guy comes and he says to Ahab, accept at my word, there will be no rain. That's the authority he is carrying. He says, when I will speak, then there will be rain. And then he prophesies rain. And then, you know, the prayer he does and all those things. And then the rain comes. So this person, where did he come from? Where did he receive the prophetic gift? What is the origination of this prophetic gift that he carries? Turn with me to James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5 and verse number 17. Verse number 17 and 18. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Now you see where the prophetic gift emerged. It emerged through the prayer life of Elijah. Hallelujah. It says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed what? Earnestly. Hallelujah. People of God, can you say hallelujah even as we proceed? Can you shout amen?
Hallelujah.
Stay with me.
Amen.
I'm going to explain to you. Hallelujah. I'm going to explain to you.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to show you how, what is, how can, how do, how does someone prophesy in the kingdom of God? What is the true gift of the prophetic? That is what I'm going to say. What does the Bible says? Now, James is giving a revelation about Elijah. He is giving the background of 1 Kings chapter number 17. He says that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed what? Earnestly. Underline that. So before prophecy, there was an earnest prayer made. What was that earnest prayer? That it would not rain. Wow. So he did not prophesy first. He did not prophesy first. He was praying with a burden first to God. What was he wanting from God? What was he telling to God? God, let it not rain in Israel. Let it not rain in Israel. Why? Because Ahab's wife was Jezebel. And the God that they worshipped, they believed those God as the rain gods. And they were deceiving Israel. They were deceiving Israel to believe, you know what, this Baal, this Ashtoreth. You know, they were worshipping the Baal and Ashtoreth. When you study about Baal, you will understand that that Baal is also called a rain god. You know, people talk about rain gods have mercy and all those stuff. There is no rain god. The Lord of heaven and earth is the one who gives rain on the earth. The Bible says in the book of Matthews that God is good towards the righteous and the unrighteous, towards both the good and the evil. Though people are evil on the earth, but yet you see he sends rain. He sends rain. Look at something. This earth has existed from thousands and thousands and thousands of years. But till now, people are eating the produce from this earth. So many generations. Think about that. The Bible says that so shall be my word that goes forth from my mouth will never return to me void. The context of that scripture it uses is as the rain comes and the dew comes and descends upon the earth, and the earth produces bread, seed to the sower. So shall be my word. So God is the one who sends rain. But these people were worshipping Baal, so-called rain god. These people were worshipping Ashtoreth, you know. And Israel was deceived during this time. The prophets were killed by Jezebel. Elijah was remaining. There were other 100 remaining, 50 remaining, who were hiding in the caves. So no one could operate. No one could worship God. That was the situation. They were all deceived to believe in this rain god. And Elijah was disturbed. Listen to me. Let me give you a background before Elijah prophesied. Elijah was disturbed. Lord, do something for my nation. Lord, I pray for my nation. He was earnestly praying. He was earnestly praying unto the Lord. And when he was earnestly praying, there was a strategy in God's heart to prove that God is Jehovah who owns Israel. There was a strategy, and that strategy was given as an intercessory burden. A prayer burden in the heart of Elijah. And Elijah started to pray, Lord, stop rain. He earnestly prayed that there will be no rain. And God granted his request. When God said, okay, there will be no rain, he went to Ahab and he said, there will be no rain in Israel except at my word. That was the prophecy. So prophecy just, you know, there are prophetic schools that will teach you, whatever comes into your mind, prophesy. They will never talk about prayer and intercession. Whatever comes into your mind, prophesy. That is not prophecy. Prophecy is seeking the Lord in prayer. And when God releases a word, and then you take that word and speak it out. You receive it from God first. You don't catch intuitions from the realm of the air. Your prophecy is backed up by your secret place. Your prophecy is backed up by your prayer life. Are we understanding that? That is what the scripture says. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. So you see what was the origination point of the prophecy he gave to Ahab? It was his earnest prayer to God, because he cared for his nation. He was praying against the gods that were worshipped by Israel. Believers, are you a naive Christians who is talking about Jesus' love? Love everyone, accept everything. That's nonsense. If you are a real Christian, you will pray against the gods that the nations worship. You will pray against the deities. You will pray against those demonic forces. And you will ask God, Lord, break their powers. Reveal yourself that you are the true God. That is the prayer that a believer should pray. It's called to pray. Hallelujah. Every believer. That was the concern of Elijah. And he prayed earnestly. Earnest prayer means prayer that comes from the heart. And prayer that is consistent, that does not deviate or diverge with situation. So he earnestly was praying, God, you know, do something. And God, stop the rain. And when God granted his request, he went there to Ahab and prophesied, there will be no rain. Hallelujah. Earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Verse number 18. Look at the second prophecy he did. What was the second prophecy? He said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. So go eat and drink, and the rain will come. How did that prophecy come? Again, verse 18. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Hallelujah. So that is my first subcategory under the third category of prophecy. What I'm talking about, prophesying is declaring the instructions of the Lord, the preordained plan of God, what God is going to do. Under that, this is the first category, that every prophecy comes from a strong prayer life, like Elijah. The prophecy he did, it was a prophecy of what God is going to do. He said, there will be no rain. That is what God was going to do. Where did it come from? From the prayer life. He was not catching voices from the realms of the air, like they teach in the prophetic school. Whatever comes to your mind, just say it out. No, that is not prophecy. First of all, don't teach people to prophesy before you teach people to pray and intercede. Before you teach people the secret of the secret place. And before you plant them in the intercession ministry. And when you don't have to activate any prophetic gift in any person, when they themselves grow in the intercessory ministry, they themselves become faithful to the Lord. I remember how I started off very clearly. I did not have any prophetic gift. Neither no one activated the prophetic gift in me. I remember how I started at the age of 19 when I encountered Jesus Christ. Started to follow him, serve him, go to the church. At the same time, I would take time off. You know, I used to work in different shifts. But I would take time off 2.5 hours in my day. 2.5 hours. And then I would just pray. Pray for my friends, for their salvation. Pray, normal prayer. Pray for the nation of India. Pray for the government. Pray for the family. Pray for the church. Pray for the friends whom I gave the gospel to, that God will someday give salvation. And just pray. And I practiced that prayer and intercession for around 7 years. And for that 7 years, I started to grow a little bit in intercession, in prayer. And then that walk in the ministry of prayer and intercession pushed me into the prophetic. Pushed me into the prophetic. That is how prophecy comes. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. Second Kings, the next category, subcategory. Let's go there. The next subcategory. Prophecy can originate by anointed music. Write it down. Prophecy can originate by what? Anointed music. So prophetic gift is related to prayer, intercession. Prophetic gift is also related to anointed worship, praise, music ministry. Okay? Second Kings. Let's go to Second Kings chapter number 3, verse number 10 onwards. Second Kings chapter number 3, verse number 10 onwards. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, "Elisha the son of Shaphat is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Then Elisha said to the king of Israel, "What have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother." But the king of Israel said to him, "No, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you." So he said, "Not because of you, I will help you, but because of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. Look at him and help, because this king of Israel, he was connected to demonic altars." So Elisha said, "I will not help. If you were only there, I would not have helped you. But Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, is there, who believes in the Lord. That's why I will help you." Okay. So what happens next? Verse number 15. He said, "But now bring me a musician." Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, "Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand." Hallelujah. So what did he say? He wanted to hear the Lord, and he said, "Bring a anointed musician. Bring a musician that is who is ordained by the Lord." And the musician came. And when he started to play music unto the Lord, the word of the Lord came to Elisha. The music ministry, the worship, praise ministry is prophetic. It's prophetic. When we worship the Lord, when we praise the Lord, when we make melodies unto the Lord, do you know it creates an atmosphere that captures the voice of the Lord, that brings the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. That Amen. Is the significance of Amen. Praise and worship ministry. Amen. That is the significance. Yes, that is the significance of the praise and worship of the music ministry is to capture the voice of the Lord. When God is praised, when God is exalted, when God is magnified, when there is an atmosphere of that worship where people are bowing down to the Lord, God prefers to start speaking in that kind of atmosphere. God prefers to start speaking in that kind of atmosphere. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So believers don't realize the importance of praise and worship. Even when we praise and worship here, you will see me praising and worshiping, because I know it's an atmosphere where God is going to speak. When I praise and worship the Lord, when I praise and worship the Lord, he said, bring a musician to me, anointed musician. People are especially, some of them are gifted in that area, I know, to play music. I have traveled with some musicians and they were anointed. Whenever they played music, the Lord would speak. Whenever they would lead worship, the Lord would, the people, you know, the Lord will start speaking in that place. The Lord will start to release the word. Hallelujah. So that is the next category where you see the prophetic gift of speaking the word of the Lord. This is what God is going to do. Speaking the mind of the Lord. Now there is something called as the mind of the Lord. I don't want to go into that. The mind of the Lord. I have taken that subject when I was teaching the mysteries of God. So, but he was speaking the mind of the Lord. Prophecy is also speaking the mind of the Lord. The counsel of God. You know, the spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel and might and knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So there is a perspective of the Lord. So when I see this glass, I will say, oh, this glass is empty. But there is the mind of the Lord. The mind of the Lord is the perspective of God. So if I see through the mind of the Lord, God will say this glass is overflowing. But in the physical realm, I say the glass is empty. But God is saying this glass is overflowing. Now how to change the physical realm is by the gift of prophecy. We will come to that. That is the power of the gift of prophecy. When you speak the mind of the Lord over a situation, the naturally impossible things become supernaturally possible. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. That is the power of the gift of prophecy. And I'm telling you, it's not only for prophets. It's for every believer, because I'm not talking about the office of the prophet. I'm talking about the gift of prophecy. Hallelujah. When I come to the ninth characteristic of the prophecy, I will talk about the difference. The office of a prophet is different. He has functions in the body of Christ. But the gift of prophecy, Apostle Paul said that desire spiritual gifts, but especially desire for that prophecy gift, especially that you may prophesy. Because God wants you to supernaturally turn around the situations. We will come to that later. So that is the prophetic gift coming from anointed praise and worship music. The third subcategory now. Prophesying the preordained plan of God, what God is going to do. That prophecy is a responsibility of a watchman. Prophecy is a responsibility of a watchman. 1 Kings chapter number 20. 1 Kings chapter number 20, verse number 13 to 22. 1 Kings chapter number 20, verse number 13 to 22. Suddenly a prophet approached Ahab, king of Israel, saying, thus says the Lord, have you seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into your hand today, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And Ahab said, by whom? And he said, thus says the Lord, by the young leaders of the provinces. Then he said, who will set the battle in order? And he answered, you. Then he mustered the young leaders of the provinces, and there were 232. And after them he mustered all the people, all the children of Israel, 7,000. So they went out at noon. Meanwhile, Ben-Hadad and the 32 kings helping him were getting drunk at the command post. The young leaders of the provinces went out first, and Ben-Hadad sent out a patrol. And they told him, saying, men are coming out of Samaria. So he said, if they have come out for peace, take them alive. And if they have come out for war, take them alive. Then these young leaders of the provinces went out of the city with the army which followed them. And each one killed his man. So the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on a horse with a cavalry. The king of Israel went out and attacked the horses and chariots and killed the Syrians with a great slaughter. Israel won. Israel means destroyed the army and the enemy, and the enemy fled before Israel. Now, I want to tell you one thing. You can fight, but every time is not ordained for a fight. It is only when God speaks and then you fight that you can win a battle. Only when God says, now is the time, attack. When you attack at that time. For some time, God will not tell you to attack. Tell you, keep silent. Don't say anything. But there comes a time when he says, yeah, attack. At the time of the Lord, at the speaking of the prophecy, when you go and attack, you will win. But if you go ahead with your own intuition, with your own instincts, with your own plan, and go and attack, you will lose the battle. But if at the time of God, when God has ordained for you to attack, and you attack, you will win the battle. So a prophet came and told Ahab, this is the time, this is what you have to do, go and attack. And when he attacked in the time of God, by the instruction of the Lord, the prophecy, he won. Okay. So he slaughtered. Verse number 21. We are on 1 Kings chapter 20, verse number 21. Verse number 22. Let's see. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said to him, Go strengthen yourself. Take note and see what you should do. For in the spring of the year, the king of Syria will come up against you. So he said, don't be happy. You go and strengthen yourself. Don't go and party. Go and what? Strengthen yourself and prepare yourself for another battle. For in the time of the spring of the year, this enemy will again come against you. They will re-strategize and come against you. Now what this prophet is doing? This prophet is a watchman on the wall. Hallelujah. This prophet is alarming the king. How the enemy will attack, what they will do, what you need to do. That is how the prophetic gift of a watchman is a prophet. A watchman is the one who stands on the walls of Jerusalem, who stands on the walls of the city of God. And the Lord has given him a gift through which he can see through the eyes of the eagle, a gift through which he can see in the enemy's camp, a gift through which he can hear what the enemy is planning. And when he understands what the enemy is planning, what the enemy is strategizing, he gets that secret plan of the enemy and then he declares it to the people of God. He declares it to the church of God. That is how the prophetic gift functions through a watchman. Now, those who want to know about more of the watchman, I have taken a watchman series that is there on the YouTube. You can go and search it out. The role of the watchman ministry. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So that there is prophecy. There, he's declaring, but he's declaring it as a watchman. As a watchman. Are we understanding? As a watchman. Let's go to the next one now. Prophecy, the fourth subcategory now. Prophecy as to one who comes to inquire of the Lord. 1 Kings chapter number 14. 1 Kings chapter number 14. Verse number 1 to 12. 1 Kings chapter number 14, verse number 1 to 12. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, became sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, please arise and disguise yourself, that they may not recognize you as the wife of Jeroboam, and go to Shiloh. Indeed, Ahijah, the prophet, is there, who told me that I would be king over this people. Now you know about Jeroboam, who made the golden calves and made Israel to sin. He committed abomination, idol worship, evil. Now something sickness striked his son. Now when sickness striked his son, he is not going to his demonic priest, to his golden calves, because he knows that they cannot answer him. He is coming to a prophet of the Lord. Go to that prophet who told me this. Go to him and inquire about my son. I have seen such kind of people in Christianity. who went away to worship idols, worship other gods, you know, who went away to worship other gods and other idols for years. Then they came back one day. I want to talk to you. I want to ask you something, because they were not getting their answers from their idols. So for selfish intentions, they come back to the Lord. I want to know something. Why? You went to your idols. You went to that person. Can't that person help you? Now you are coming back to the Lord, to the prophet of the Lord. So that is what Jeroboam sent his wife. And he said, when you go, disguise yourself, because I don't want to show people that I am going back to that prophet. So don't show anyone that we are going back to that prophet of the Lord. Also, verse number 3, also take with you 10 loaves, some cakes, and a jar of honey, and go to him. He will tell you what will become of this child. And Jeroboam's wife did so. She arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were glazed by reason of his age. Now the Lord had said to Ahijah, here is the wife of Jeroboam, coming to ask you something about her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus you shall say to her, for it will be when she comes in that she will pretend to be another woman. And so it was when Ahijah heard the sound of her footsteps and she came through the door. He said, come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why do you pretend to be another person? For I have been sent to you with bad news. Go, tell Jeroboam, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because I exalted you from among the people and made you ruler over my people Israel, and tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you. And yet you have not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do only what was right in my eyes. But you have done more evil than all who were before you. For you have gone and made for yourself other gods and molded images to provoke me to anger and have cast me behind your back. Therefore, behold, I will bring disaster on the house of Jeroboam and will cut off from Jeroboam every male in Israel, bond and free. I will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam as one takes away refuse until it is all gone. The dog shall eat whoever belongs to Jeroboam and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field. For the Lord has spoken. Arise, therefore, go to your own house. When your feet enter the city, the child shall die. So this is the word that he gave to that woman, the wife of Jeroboam, who came to inquire of the Lord. So prophetic gift of declaring what God will do can function when someone comes to you to ask questions, when someone comes to you to inquire what is going to happen. And hallelujah. And if that person is evil, is wicked, and has worked against the Lord, and is coming to a true prophet to inquire of the word of the Lord, he is bringing danger on himself. He is bringing danger on himself. Now listen to me. You might see the prophetic movement going around in the church where people go, oh, my child is sick. I want healing for my child. Oh, this is happening. I want the breakthrough in my property. Oh, that money is stuck. I want. And you will see the prophet prophesying on everyone. And what he is prophesying on everyone, whatever you want. And I have heard prophets in prophetic meetings, in revival meetings speaking. Everyone who is present here, whatever you want from God, start believing and start asking from him. And I will come and pray for that. And God will start to give it to you. That is not the true prophetic gift. Because many people standing like Jeroboam was asking for his son to be healed. But this guy has led Israel to idol worship. And now when his son is sick, he's coming to the Lord. A true prophet will be very cutthroat to give the truth of the Lord and to expose evil, not to make the person happy. Are we understanding? Not to make the person happy. So in meetings where everyone, I have heard prophets standing there at the pulpit, whatever, every person who is here, whatever you want from the Lord, start to ask from the Lord, start to believe for it. And then I will pray and God will give you whatever you want. What is that? That is not prophecy. whatever you want. There are some people who go to idols and worship the idols, and they have just come in the meeting for selfish needs. Because they are not getting answers from their idols, now they have come to the Lord. God is not going to give them anything. God is going to give them the word. Like he spoke to Ahab, not that God wants to destroy them, but God is doing what they have sown. They shall reap. Hallelujah. So, okay, any which ways, that is the prophecy. When someone comes to inquire of the Lord, okay, what is the prophetic gift operates? God speaks upon that situation. God speaks upon that situation. And it's always not a good news. It's also a bad news, like in this case. Then the next one is prophecy for the nations. Jeremiah chapter number 26. Jeremiah chapter number 26. Jeremiah chapter number 26, verse number 8. Now it happened when Jeremiah 26, verse number 8. Okay. Now it happened when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people. Okay, sorry. Jeremiah chapter number 28, verse number 8. Jeremiah chapter number 28, verse number 8. The prophets who have been before me and before you of old prophesied against many countries and great kingdoms of war and disaster and pestilence. So, Jeremiah is saying the prophets even before me, not only me, have prophesied on countries, nations and great kingdoms of war, disaster and pestilence. So that is another category of the prophetic gift where the prophecy is given, the word of the Lord is given upon the nations. Okay, that is all about prophesying the preordained plan of God. These are the categories under the prophesying of the preordained plan of God and of what God is going to do. Let's go to the fourth characteristic of prophecy. Let's go to the fourth characteristic of a prophecy. Prophesying is encouraging and building up the faith of God's people in the word of God. Do you know that is prophecy? What encouraging and building up? You might say, but brother, how through prophecy can the faith of God's people be built? Let's go to Ezra chapter number 5. Ezra chapter number 5. And verse number 1. Then the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophets, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, who was over them. So Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, rose up and began to build the house of God, which is in Jerusalem, and the prophets of God were with them, helping them. Hallelujah. So these people who were building the temple of God, they were helped by prophets. How they were helped by prophets? These prophets started to prophesy to them. And it says, in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. And they started to prophesy them, and when they prophesied to them, the people's faith were built up. And they started to build the house of the Lord. They started to do the assignment of the Lord. The prophetic gift plays a very important part in encouraging the people of God and building up their faith. How? We will see that now. In building up their faith, because the gift of prophecy reveals the things that are happening behind the veil. The gift of prophecy exposes the physical reality is connected to the spiritual reality. Hallelujah. For example, you are struggling in doing something, maybe your business, you are struggling with your family. And then, okay, you say, Brother Raul, pray for me. And I start to pray for you. And then the gift of prophecy operates. And then I tell you, you know what? What you are going through is because of something that is happening in the realm of the spirit. But God is, this is what God is doing in the realms of the spirit. So when you expose the realities of the realms of the spirit that is connected to your physical situation, that is connected to your physical situation, the encouragement of the Lord encourages you and builds your faith up. Now, in this situation, what they were prophesying and people were getting encouraged, the leaders got encouraged and started to build the temple again. What they were doing, they were prophesying about the root cause of why they were not able to build the temple. They were not able to perform the work of the Lord. They were not able to perform the assignment of the Lord of building the temple. So they started to prophesy to these people. What they started to prophesy is they started to expose the root cause why they were not able to build the temple. That is prophecy. And when they exposed the root cause and they said, this is what is happening, but since it is exposed, this is what God will do, they started to then again build the temple. They were encouraged through the gift of prophecy. Let me show you what was happening there. Zechariah chapter number 3. This is one of the prophets. There are two prophets here, okay? Haggai and Zechariah. Let's see what is written in the book of Zechariah. And let's go to Zechariah chapter number 3. Zechariah chapter number 3. And Zechariah chapter number 3. Let us start reading from verse number 1. Zechariah chapter number 3. Let's start reading from verse number 1. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest. Zechariah speaking, the one who is prophesying to Joshua and to Zerubbabel. They were the builders of the house of God. So he is just not prophesying to Joshua the high priest, who is building the temple of the Lord. He is also looking at Joshua, of what is happening to Joshua in the realms of the spirit. Zechariah chapter number 3 verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angels. Standing before the angel. Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now look at this picture. Zechariah and Haggai are prophesying to the leaders, Joshua the high priest, Zerubbabel, the builder of the temple. Why they are prophesying? Because they are not able to build the temple. Okay. Now, Zechariah did not come with the prophecy just like that. Zechariah came with the prophecy because he understood why Joshua, the high priest, is not able to do what he is called to do. Because in the realms of the spirit, Satan is accusing him for something. Because in the realms of the spirit, he is clothed with filthy garments. And his case needs intercession. You see how prophecy encourages God's people? Hallelujah. His case needs intercession. So he saw this in the realms of the spirit. All these things he is seeing that Satan is accusing. So here you are laboring and nothing is happening and you are confused. You are working, but nothing is working out. You are trying, but nothing is working. But the prophetic gift will bring encouragement and understanding to you of why things are not happening. That is how a prophetic gift encourages God's people and builds up their faith. Are we understanding that now? Verse number 3. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garment from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head. This is Zechariah interceding. Joshua, the way you look in the realms of the spirit. Okay, in the physical realm, you are wearing a good shirt. You are wearing a good dress. But in the realms of the spirit, I saw you, Joshua. And you were having the filthy garments. Because Satan was accusing you. So he is speaking in the realm of the spirit. He said, I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head. And they put the clothes on him. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house. And likewise, you likewise have charge of my courts. I will give you places to walk among those who stand here. Hear, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon the stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says the Lord of hosts. And I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree. Hallelujah. You are struggling, but you need the prophetic gift to operate in your life, to expose actually what is happening in the realm of the spirit. Hallelujah. You can never build a house until God ordains you to build a house. You can never build the church until God sends the word upon you to build his church. You can never do anything until it is given to you from heaven for you to do it. And those things can only come from the prophetic gift. Those things come from the prophetic gift. Are we looking at that? So this is what the encouragement that Haggai and Zechariah were giving to the builders of the house of God, to the high priest. We need prophets who will encourage the church, because the enemy is discouraging the people of God. The enemy is hindering anyone who is called to build God's kingdom, work for God's kingdom. You know, the enemy is discouraging them. The enemy is bringing attacks. And we need the prophetic gift so that they can bring encouragement to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Okay. Acts chapter number 15. Another scripture for that. Acts chapter number 15. Hallelujah. Acts chapter number 15. Verse number 32. Acts chapter number 15, verse number 32. Now Judas and Silas, themselves being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. Hallelujah. The prophetic gift. They were prophets, the Bible says. Who? Judas, not the Judas Iscariot. Judas, another disciple. And Silas. They were themselves prophet and exhorted and strengthened the brethren. Hallelujah. If you are going through something, what encouragement can I bring to you if I cannot have a look at you in the realms of the spirit? Only when I look at you at the realms of the spirit, I can know the root cause of your problem and then encourage you as per that, advise you as per that, counsel you as per that. Hallelujah. There are many empty counsels that people give because they don't operate in the realms of the spirit. There are many empty encouragements, you know, that people give because they don't operate in the realms of the spirit. But when you operate in that realms of the prophetic gift, you are able to encourage someone and strengthen their faith. The things that you will tell them will actually hit the bullseye and bring them out of the problem. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, The next gift is God gives the gift of prophecy. God gives the gift of prophecy to supernaturally turn around the physical situation. Hallelujah. Now listen to me now. This is important. God gives the gift of prophecy. Now this gift is given to every believer. This aspect of the gift. Because while dealing with circumstances, while dealing with troubles, while dealing with tribulation, we need the gift of prophecy so that the supernatural situations can be changed. As I said, I look at this glass and I say, oh Lord, the glass is empty. I am thirsty. I cannot drink anything from the glass. But when I am looking at the physical through my physical eyes, but the prophetic gift only operates when we look at situations through the eyes of God, through the perspective of God, that is the eyes of faith. And when we start to see at the situation which is physically empty, but through the eyes of God, and God is saying, look properly, the glass is not empty, the glass is full and overflowing. And when we look through the eyes of God and declare it, we turn around the natural situation into a supernatural. Hallelujah. Turn around the naturally occurring situation into a supernatural manifestation. That is the gift of prophecy that is given unto believers to turn around physical situation. Like Elijah, there was no rain, no clouds in the sky, but he got a word and God said, there is rain, look properly. So the servant went and said, the skies are clear. No, there is no clouds that will bring rain. But Elijah said, go and look properly. Because Elijah was not looking at the sky through his eyes. Elijah was looking at the sky through the eyes of God. And though in the physical there were no clouds, but through the eyes of God, if you look at the skies are filled with clouds, and which is going to pour on heavy rain on the face of Israel, on the nation of Israel. Hallelujah. So believers, I want to prophesy to you. Though you look at your country, you look at your nation, and you are looking at your city, you are looking at your family, and you look at it and you see everything is dry, there is nothing. But I want to encourage you tonight, you look at it through the eyes of God and you will see clouds which are heavy and which are going to pour out rain. So that is the prophetic gift, where you look at situations not through your physical eyes, but you look at it through the eyes of God, and then you get the gift, the ability to turn it around by the gift of prophecy, by the gift of prophecy. Stay with me. Ezekiel chapter number 37. Ezekiel chapter number 37, verse number 1 onwards. Ezekiel chapter number 37. Verse number 1. Okay. Now there are some things that I want to tell you now from when I read this scripture. But let's first read the scripture. Ezekiel chapter number 37. Verse number 1 to 10. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry, meaning the bones were there in the valley from quite a long time, because of which he was seeing the dryness. Those dead bones were there in the valley from many years, lying there in the valley, because of which they all become very dry, because it was, those dead bones were there from many years. But what happened? Verse number 3. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. So he was asking Ezekiel, do you think these bones can live? I don't know, Lord, you know. Why? Because I don't think it will live. You don't think it will live, but God knows that it will come back to life. Hallelujah. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. There comes prophecy. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied. He got a perspective of the Lord of what is going to happen with the bones. Though he was seeing the bones are dry, it's dead. But what God is seeing, looking at them, he's seeing life. When God looks at the dry bones, he does not see the dry bones. When God looks at the dry bones, he see an army arising. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, here is what I want to tell you. Prophesying is looking through the eyes of faith of what God can do. Prophesying is looking through the eyes of faith, the eyes of God, the perspective of God, of what God can do and of what not you can do or you are seeing. And the second thing I want to tell you, you cannot operate in the gift of prophecy if you believe and accept the physical realities. Hallelujah. You cannot operate in the gift of prophecy if you are very quick. Ah, my salary did not come. This month is going to be terrible. Don't look at your salary not coming. Look at everything through the perspective of God. If you are quick to accept physical realities, you are not going to operate in the gift of prophecy.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. If you are quick to, you know, so many people look at physical reality. Oh, my son is speaking like that. Oh, my husband is speaking like that. Oh, he is doing that. Oh, no. If you are quick to accept those physical realities, you cannot operate in the gift of prophecy. Look at Elisha. He was not quick to accept the physical reality of the army of Syria surrounding him. Whereas his servant was quick to accept that physical reality. Alas, my master, the enemy is surrounding us. We will die. Quick to accept it. But Elisha said, hold on. If I see the enemy surrounding me, I don't believe that I will die. But because I don't look at them, I am looking at the through the perspective of faith. And I see the chariots of fire, which is greater than the army of the enemy. Are we understanding? Remember these two things to operate in the gift of prophecy. prophesying is looking through the eyes of faith of what God can do. And then second, you cannot operate in the gift of prophecy if you are quick to believe and accept the physical realities. Hallelujah. Don't be so quick to accept the physical realities that you see around you, because the physical realities are constructed by the devil. The devil can manipulate physical realities, but he cannot manipulate the spiritual reality that God has framed. What does the Bible say about faith? Faith is the evidence, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. And then what it says, by faith, God framed the structure of the world. So the world that was created was framed in the spiritual realities of God, in the spiritual realities of God. And the spiritual reality, for example, if God has ordained you to be a prophet to the nations, that is the spiritual reality that God has framed for your life. The devil cannot touch that frame. Do you know that? But what the devil can do is manipulate your physical reality. He cannot touch your spiritual realities that is already ordained, because he knew. He knows the end from the beginning of your life. He has structured your life. He has framed your life. And he has ordained you to do something for him. He has ordained you for a calling. He has ordained you for many things. And the devil cannot touch that frame that God has orchestrated, the spiritual reality. What he will always do is manipulate your physical reality. The money that comes, your business, the people around you, he will manipulate that. What things happen in your life, things happening in your job, things happening in the economy of your country, things happening in the world. He will manipulate all those things, but he cannot touch that which God has already ordained for his people. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, of all the good things the Lord said about his nation Israel, everything came to pass. Why? Because the devil cannot touch the physical, the spiritual reality of God. That is faith. That is faith. That is faith. Hallelujah. Even if you have 10 diseases in you, you have pressure problem, blood pressure, diabetes, you have cholesterol, You have other tumors here and there, but I want to tell you, discover the spiritual reality of God and discover the perspective of God about your health. And when you discover that, you reject the physical reality. Hallelujah. That is faith. That is how prophecy operates actually. God asked Ezekiel, what do you see? He said, I see dry bones. He said, do you think these bones will live? Ezekiel said, impossible. I don't know. You only know. But God said, these bones will not only live, it will form an army. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Are we understanding? I remember once, I think I shared this once. You know, my sister was going through a series of health issues, one after the other, one after the other. Sometimes for a period of time, she had lumps here and she was sick. And then when that got healed, she got eye problem. When the eye problem got healed, she got all of a sudden swelling in her legs. Okay. And so the swelling was there for quite a while in her legs. And then once the Holy Spirit led me to pray. So after the meeting ended, the Zoom meeting ended, I went, the Holy Spirit led me to pray, laid hands. And when I prayed, I saw a whitish leprous skin leaving her leg. And the Lord told me she is healed. And then that was broken upon her leg. And the Lord told me she is healed. Now listen to me. So I told, you are healed. And start to walk. And the swelling that was there, it reduced. But the pain did not left. So she was walking. She's saying the pain did not left. And I asked the Lord, Lord, what to do? The Lord said, no, nothing else needs to be done. Ask her just to believe she is healed. She is healed. But she is still not able to walk. And the fear was still there. And the fear was, I don't want to go out. I don't want to go for grocery shopping. I don't want to go out here and there. The fear was still there. So God told me she needs to have the faith. She needs to see the healing. So I told her, God has already healed you. And then I told her, don't fear. So we go out, start to walk, start to live the normal life as if you are healed. And then I encouraged her. And then we went out and then she walked a little bit. That day it was still not, she was still having the same pain. But by night, when she started to apply her own faith and believe that what God said is true, not what the pain I feel. The next day, everything went away and she was completely normal. So God tests the faith of people. Maybe what God has said has not come to pass in the physical reality, but you still got to believe what God has shown you, what God has said to you, by rejecting the physical reality, because it can be manipulated by the enemy. That is what happens in healing ministry, that healing ministers don't explain it to people. Sometimes people get healed, but the pain comes again because the devil, and it is not that the sickness has come again, but the devil wants to use the tool of the spirit of fear and make the person confess, oh, I again got it. So when the person confesses it, the spirit again comes in. But once God has said that it is done, then it is done. Are we understanding that? So that is how you operate in the gift of prophecy. That is how you operate in the gift of prophecy. You hold on to the spiritual reality more than the physical reality. Now, I have a question for you. How convicted you are in the unseen realities of God? How convicted you are in the unseen realities of God? Hallelujah. There needs to be conviction in your heart about the unseen realities of God, because the spiritual reality of the rain and of the abundance of rain was more real than the physical reality Elijah could prophesy. So when the spiritual reality, when the word of God is more real to you than your physical circumstance, you will work in the gift of prophecy. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Second Corinthians. Chapter number 4. Second Corinthians. Chapter number 4. verse number 16 to 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though, this is Apostle Paul speaking, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So Paul was walking in a convicted life of what? Of the unseen things and not the seen things. I took it upon myself that I will never believe the manipulated physical realities that is casted before me. I will always look at the bigger picture that the Lord has shown me. I will always remember the vision of the Lord that the Lord has shown me for my life. I will always keep in my mind the promises of the Lord, and I will walk into that. I will walk as per that, and I will never be discouraged looking at the physical realities of my life. I always pray that I want to walk in convictions of the unseen realities. That's why people of God cannot operate in the supernatural, because they are walking more in the physical realm than in the spiritual realities. Are we understanding? Apostle Paul says, though our outward man is perishing, you know, I'm becoming weak, I'm having some problems in my body, but I don't look at that. I look at my inward man. That is what? Strengthened day by day. Outward man is perishing. Things around are becoming chaotic, but inward man is becoming stronger. Do you see what he is saying? Then he says, I don't see the seen realities, the light affliction. What he is calling a light affliction is a 1,000-kilogram burden for many believers today. The light affliction that he is referring to is arrest, persecution, beatings, death, starving for food, health issues, tiredness, sleeplessness, sometimes lack of finances. He has to depend on God. And what he's saying, what are all those things? Light affliction, brother. Light affliction. Why light affliction? Because I see the eternal weight of glory. Hallelujah. What do you see in front of you? What are you looking at? What you are carrying in your convictions, in your heart? Is it you focusing on your problem, focusing on who you are, what do you have, and what you are going through? He is saying, what I am going through is light affliction. Even if a mosquito comes and bites a believer, oh, I am going through persecution, heavy burdens. But Apostle Paul is going through so much, and what he is saying, these things are light affliction. I don't have any problem with it. Hallelujah. People of God, are you there? Someone was sleeping here. Are you there? Someone was snoring.
Hallelujah.
No, someone was snoring. That's why I'm muted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, you can sleep. You can lay down. Whatever you want to do, you do. I don't want to place any restrictions. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
He is saying, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen. Hallelujah. Are you able to say, I am blessed? If I call you, are you able to say, I am blessed, brother? You know what? God is there and everything is good. Very less people say that nowadays. Oh, brother, you know what? Going through a lot of attacks. Lot of things in my life. Attacks after attacks. But still, yeah, God is there. But when you go and ask Apostle Paul, Brother Paul, how are you? He's saying, I am fine. I am blessed. But you went to the prison and they passed a death sentence and you ran away. That is a light affliction. No problem. That is how he will speak. people are trying to kill you in the other, in another village, they are following you. Huh, is it? No problem. I will not die, I know, till my time does not come. Those are light affliction. That is what he's saying. Light affliction. Oh, you are having problems in your health, you are becoming weak, those things are no problem, light affliction, because he is walking in the convictions of unseen realities. He is saying all those things, no problem. I see the eternal weight of glory. I see the Lord high and lifted. I see, hallelujah, the glory of the Lord in my life. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, the things which are not seen are eternal. The things that you see are temporary. The situation you are going through, you don't realize it's temporary. You can change it when you walk in the conviction of the unseen reality and declare it and prophesy it. So this is what I say. You cannot operate in the gift of prophecy if you are quick to believe and accept the physical realities. Try to evaluate your life. Are you quick to believe and accept physical realities when anything hits at you? Oh, and again, you know, you accepted the reality. But just look at every situation through the perspective of God. I have told you many times my testimony. I was in the Merchant Navy, but it was in the Merchant Navy College because I had the desire to be on the ship and earn a lot of money and travel the countries and live, make life great and make the life big, full of money. That was my desire. That's why I joined Merchant Navy. But that was not God's plan for me. But it was in the Merchant Navy College that Jesus encountered me, in the hostel. Jesus encountered me. He encountered me. And then from that time, my life took a turn. And I came back home. When I came back home, the Lord told me, while I was coming back from the Merchant Navy College, I said, Lord, you told me to go back. So I left the study and I left the college, the course, and I went back. While I was coming back, the Lord told me, I have chosen you. I have chosen you to serve the nations. And then I came back. When I came back, I told, what to do next, Lord? I started to serve in the church and the Lord told me, do a job. So when I was supposed to take up a job, my certificates were with the college. So, and my certificates, you know, educational certificates were with the college. And then my mother had to go and requested them give the certificates, but they said, give a big chunk of money, pay the whole fees, and then we will give you the certificates. And they said, call the student. So I was working in some BPO job, so I had to go. I needed the certificate. So when I went, and we went to the office and they again said they rejected giving us certificates. So that day, I still remember that day. It's so clear. So when we were coming back, I was thinking, Lord, how will I go ahead in life now? How will I make a career or earn a living or earn money? And because they have not given the certificates. I prayed, but they did not give the certificates, the educational certificates and every important documents. So that is what the question in my heart was. And then after they rejected us giving the certificates, when we were traveling back to the hotel room there, and I was pondering, and then I heard the voice of the Lord and he said, don't worry, I am your certificate. When he told me that, I rejoiced. I said, you know what, let's not be sad, because nothing can stop me, because the Lord said he is my certificate. I told my mom, let's not be sad and go to the hotel room very sadly. Let's go to the restaurant and let's have some Mangalorean chicken. That place chicken is so, let's have that. And I feasted and my heart was filled with joy because I believed what God told me. I believed what God told me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And God, because I believed in what God told me, within 1 year, God placed me in a company which hires MBAs, post-graduates. God placed me in that company, in their salary slab, what the MBAs, the post-graduates earn. God placed me in that because I believed and I looked at my career through the perspective of God. Hallelujah. And then of the company, We managed on the Xerox and on the duplicates. And none of the companies questioned me ever. Because when they looked at my certificate, they did not look at the Xerox copies and the duplicates. They looked at what God was showing to them. And God said to them, I am this man's certificate. So I was qualified. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? I did not walk in the same reality that time. I remember the joy that filled my heart that day. I still remember that day very clearly, many years ago, around 12, 13 years ago. But I still remember that day. And when God spoke to me, I understood, that's it. Hallelujah. 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 The things which are seen are temporary. The things that are unseen, that God shows us, that God gives us, are eternal. Hallelujah. Amen. If God has qualified you, no man can disqualify you. If God has approved you, no one can disapprove you. That is how you walk in prophecy. That is how, when you start, and before God gives you that ability to prophesy, He will train you in the secret place, like He trained me in the realities of life. He'll bring some trouble. Some people will reject you. Some people will say, we will not give you this. We will not give you that. We'll take you through those things so that convictions can be built up in your life. Convictions can be built up in your heart that this life that you live does not function on the seen realities, on the physical situation. This life that you live does not function as per the salary you get from your office. It functions upon the things that God has made for you, framed for you, promised you. The gift of prophecy that can turn around the physical situation. The gift of prophecy. Hallelujah. Let me end here. And afterwards, we will go into the next aspects of prophecy. People of God, are we understanding? Hallelujah. Tonight, I want to encourage you. And that is the question the Holy Spirit wants to ask people here. How convicted you are in the unseen realities of God. How convicted you are. Are you convicted? Or are you too much burdened by the seen reality? By the attacks that you face? By the situations that you see? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for this time. I give you the praise. I give you the honor. Lord, let us walk in the unseen realities of God. Let us walk in the unseen realities, Lord. Oh, Apostle Paul, he said, the current situation is a light affliction compared to the eternal weight of glory. Hallelujah. Let us develop that perspective, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Apostle Paul said, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. I pray that your people will start to prophesy in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I pray that your people will understand, Lord, the foundations of the prophetic gift and the prophetic ministry in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, I ask you, Lord, that your people will start to tap into the spiritual realities, the things that God has ordained them. Maybe you are not qualified as per your college. Maybe you are not qualified as per your own family members. But hear what God has to say about you. Hear what God has to certify you in. Oh, start to hear the voice of the Lord. Start to step into the unseen realities of God. Oh, Rebasia, go and inquire of the Lord. God, speak to me. Tell God, speak to me. Tell me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. Reveal your plans to me, Lord, so that I can walk in that plans and not walk in the seen physical situations that I see around me, because it terrifies me. It makes me afraid. It makes me insecure. It makes me angry, frustrated. But Lord, here I come into your secret place, into your presence. Show me, oh Lord, what you have framed for me, what you have orchestrated for me. Oh, hallelujah. Let every fear, oh Lord, be broken upon your people in the mighty name of Jesus, and let them operate in that gift of prophecy that turns around the situation supernaturally. Oh, you should have the ability, oh, to turn around the situation supernaturally. Oh, the situation I was in was a situation where I cannot work, I cannot prosper, but I did not focus on that. I did not accept that. I accepted the word of the Lord who said, I am your certificate. I am going to prosper you. Hallelujah. Rabayabo, Rababa Sotoko, Rabala Hasiata Rabarabo, Rekalda Rabba Siatraba. Let your people walk in the realm. When you walk in the convictions of spiritual realities, no one has to teach you to prophesy. You will become a prophet to your life. You will become a prophet to situations. You will become a prophet to other people, a blessing to other people. Hallelujah. Rabayam prosam pratakarabando. Rabalahash patara bazekete rebe. I give you the praise. Hallelujah. I give you honor. I give you glory, Father. Thank you for this time once again. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. We cover all those people, Lord, all your people who are here who are not able to make it, cover all of them, all of their families with the blood of Jesus Christ. And we give you the praise once again, Lord. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we make this prayer. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.